Now, friends, think of this. When we don't know we're delivered from the law, when we don't know we're dead to the law, how does the impression of the law sound in our head? Let's explore this. Colin Cook here and How It Happens, a broadcast on the good news. We're learning how the good news happens. Through Jesus Christ, through his atonement on the cross, through his reconciliation of us to the Father in his body. We're learning how all of this works by faith. That's why we call this program How It Happens. I'm not here to inspire you, but to train your faith as I seek to train mine, my friend. Now, we're looking at Romans chapter 7, and we're learning that we are delivered from the law, that we are dead to the law. But if we do not know that by faith, then how does the law speak in our minds? What does it sound like? Now, I'm not talking about voices, you know. I'm not talking about schizophrenia. I'm not talking about audible voices in our head. I'm talking about the way we let the law speak to ourselves, to us rather. How do you think it sounds? Remember that Paul says that Satan, while tempting us to sin, employs the law to do so. Let me remind you of that, Romans 7, verse 8. But sin, that is Satan behind sin, of course, taking opportunity by the commandment, using, in other words, the commandment as an opportunity to get us to sin, produced in me all manner of evil desire. He says the same thing in verse 11, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it killed me. And then verse 13, but sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good. So that sin, through the commandment, might become exceedingly sinful. Now, this is incredible talk. What it means, then, is that Satan presents the commandment to our head, to our brains. Now, I've already explored this with you. What I'm asking you now is, what would that sound like in our heads? Well, I know I'm going to sort of shock you here, but it would sound like the Holy Spirit, wouldn't it? Something like, my son, it is wrong to do that. That's against the commandments of God. You must obey. And we, in our panic, hear this as a rebuke from the Holy Spirit, and we therefore exalt the law in our head in order to obey it. But we are aware that the law is far above everything we can reach, and we're already condemned by it because the law gives only a consciousness of sin. And so we become so frightened and stressed and guilt-ridden and ashamed that we collapse under the weight of that, and we rush to sin in order to forget. And so, you see, where a person exalts the law, where a person puts the law in the place of Jesus, there can only be sin. Now, I'm not making that point again because I made it before, although it bears repeating, of course, but I'm making the point that that appeal to the law by Satan would sound like the Holy Spirit. This is where Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. And I contend, my friend, that Satan will transform himself into an angel of light way before he does it to the world. You see, if we do not know how to counter the accusations of the law by the good news, the gospel, and the grace that has come to us in Jesus Christ, and the mercy that is our Father brought to us, then we will allow Satan to torment us by the law. He will say, come on, obey, 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 you're not good enough yet. Come on, get higher, higher, higher. And we shall constantly be aware that we are not coming up to the bar, that we are way beyond the demands of the law. And the guilt and the shame will pile on further and further until we are overwhelmed and see the whole Christian life as impossible. Now, I'm not saying to you, and I don't believe it, that Satan whispers into our heads. I don't believe that there are literal voices from Satan. I don't believe Satan has that capacity. I believe that is a capacity of the Holy Spirit. I do believe that Satan can possess a person, but most possession is not really, I mean, most of our experience has nothing to do with possession. It has to do with Satan creating circumstances and situations in our life that make us think what he wants us to think, that make us repeat his ideas. Because he knows we have a fallen nature, and all he has to do is present a few circumstances to us, and we'll get the wrong end of the stick. Now look, if you confuse the voice of Satan for the voice of the Holy Spirit, can you not imagine the exacerbation and increase of the torment you will feel? There are many people who don't find the Holy Spirit a comfort because they think that all his goal is, or his mission in life is to convict you of sin and call upon you to repent endlessly. But may I remind you what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit, what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit, that he is the comforter, the advocate, that is the one who defends us, the one who comforts us, the one who knows that we have a mind that drifts downward by the very sort of moral gravity of our fallen human nature, that we are constantly depressed and struggling with anxieties and fears. And so the Helper comes, the Holy Spirit. And what does he convict us of? Well, you say sin. Well, he will convict you of sin because you believe not in me. In other words, he's not saying you did wrong there, you did wrong here, you did wrong over there. He's saying, my son, believe in Jesus. Well, he convicts of righteousness, you say, that I'm not righteous enough. No. He convicts the world of sin and of righteousness because I go to the Father. Which means what? That Jesus stands before the Father as our righteousness. In him we are accounted as reconciled to the Father, standing before his throne in peace. And so he's trying to convict us of the good news. Well, you say, what about judgment? Jesus said he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. Well, what does he say following that? Of judgment because the prince of this world is cast out. It's not, if you don't repent, you will go to hell and you will be judged and go to hell. That's not the judgment he's talking about. He's talking about the judgment of Satan. He's saying, believe in the Son. Believe in your righteousness because the accuser has been cast down and no longer accuses you. Look at the wonderful friendship and comfort we have then in the Holy Spirit. And if we don't know these things, if we don't know that we are dead to the law, we will think that the Holy Spirit is an endless nagger, nagging us about the law. But that's what Satan does, not the Holy Spirit. Now look, let me put this to you. We often caricature the Pharisees in that most horrendous and tragic episode of their history when they used the law and used the Romans to crucify the Son of God. But let's pause a minute. These weren't mindless men. These were very serious men. They would put most of us to shame in the seriousness of their dedication to God. What led them to kill Christ? Well, the law. You see, these men were dedicated to the law. One might say they were dedicated more to the law than to God. They knew the history of Israel. They had in mind the Babylonian captivity And the law became essential and vital to the religious life of the Jew after the Babylonian captivity, because the leaders made the assessment that the reason God took Israel into captivity under the Babylonians was that they had become idolaters and had neglected the holy law of God. And so after the Babylonian captivity, right up to the time of Jesus Christ, there was an enormous emphasis on every single scintilla and jot and tittle of the law, so that Israel may never go back to the situation where they were idolaters and be led into captivity again. Now, then comes Jesus. And he's making claims that clearly seem to be contrary to the law. He is putting himself in the position of God. He is allowing people to worship him. He is saying that I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is making statements that only belong to Jehovah. And these people are dedicated to the law, and they fear that if they give credence to what this man is saying, they will be carried away into captivity again because they will have committed idolatry. So they could not examine Jesus on the basis of what he was saying, or on his works, or on the prophecies about Jesus, because they were blinded to all of those possibilities by what? By the law. Not by sin, my friend, but by the law. And of course, it was sin in a very indirect way. Do you see then how it is possible for Satan to be behind sin and reinforce the power of sin through the law? And I say that to you, my dear friend. You must be careful to look to Jesus in regard to your struggle with alcoholism, drug addiction, any other addiction, because if you look to the law, it will only worsen the sin struggle. And that's not where we Christians are. We go to Jesus, and there we find our comfort and our help. If you want to learn more about how to train your mind, my friend, in this faith way so that you don't confuse the voice of the Holy Spirit for the voice of Satan or vice versa, then come to my seminar on the 29th of October. How to counsel yourself through Romans chapter 5. Now, the next quarter, in January, we'll talk about how to counsel yourself through Romans chapter 6, and April, Romans chapter 7, and July, Romans chapter 8 of 2012. But this coming one, October the 29th, at La Quinta Inn in Lakewood, will be how to counsel yourself through Romans chapter 5. I am telling you, my friend, and I've said it till I'm blue in the face, that the book of Romans is the most overlooked book in the Bible, because Paul here is unveiling the good news about Jesus in detail that is unequaled anywhere else in the Bible. And not only that, he is unveiling how faith works in great detail in this book. So we will take these verses, verse by verse, this chapter, verse by verse, and apply it to how we train our faith, how we counsel ourselves into reality instead of delusion. I look forward to seeing you then. And that's 29th of October, 9 in the morning, La Quinta Inn. And admission is by donation. Bring what you can. All donations are gratefully received and greatly needed. I'll see you there. Cheerio, and God bless.